Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We're talking about not the born-again experience, which saves us, but we're talking about an experience that empowers us. You see, God will give us, desires to give us, intends to give us supernatural power with which to serve Him. I do not serve Christ in my own strength. I can't. I don't have the strength that's necessary.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapters 14 through 16 in a message titled, Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Everything just coming out so clearly and so profoundly, and it's the very thing that person that you're talking to needed to hear. That's the Holy Spirit bringing those things to our remembrance. And then he said that the Holy Spirit would testify of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit, again, his ministry is really to testify of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit not only helps us in our own understanding, in our own ability to communicate, the Holy Spirit not only helps us in giving us power to be his witnesses and things like that, but the Holy Spirit also works upon the unbeliever. And this is what we're told as we move into chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 7, look at what Jesus said. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying it's actually going to be a better situation. I know you can't understand that now. It's hard for you to imagine how anything could be better than the present situation, but Jesus said it's to your advantage that I go away because I'm going to send you the Helper. Now remember, all of this teaching is in preparation for what's going to come in the future. And what's going to come? They're going to be sent out. They're going to go out with this message of salvation to the whole world. That's what the church is all about. The church is to be about getting the gospel out to the world. That's why we're here. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job, because that's what we're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit was sent to help us to do that. Now, Jesus is going to go on and tell us that part of the help that the Holy Spirit gives us is in regard to the people that we're sent to. And oh, how great that is, because, you know, if it was up to us to convince them, it would be impossible. But the Holy Spirit helps with those that the gospel is going to come to. And listen to what Jesus said here. He says, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, verse 8, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. One of the things that we often take upon ourselves is the burden of trying to convict people of sin. Have you ever done that? It's not fun. It's not fun for them, and it's not fun for us, because they end up really irritated by us. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I can't convict somebody of sin. Now, God can use me. The Holy Spirit can use me. I can be an instrument through which conviction will come. But in the end, it's the work of the Spirit of God to convict men of sin. And so when I see somebody doing something, I don't have to walk by and go, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's bad. You shouldn't say that. You know, the fact of the matter is, if I'm filled with the Spirit, oftentimes it's just the very presence of a believer that will bring that conviction to a person's life. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Listen to what Jesus said. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So what does that mean? Well, sin because they believe not in me. This is the great sin. The great sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. This is the sin that the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of. And in the end, Jesus said it earlier in this gospel. He said, in the end, men will be condemned not primarily for their sins, but for the one sin, the sin of having had light come into the world, but men loving darkness rather than light. The great sin is the sin of refusing to receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So the Spirit comes to convict men of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is convicting men of. The sin of unbelief, the sin of refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that the Spirit is bringing ultimately upon a person. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not also convicting them of other sins, but the goal is not to simply get them to stop committing those other sins. The goal is to get them to come to Jesus. You see, that's why I was saying, if you go out and you tell somebody, hey, you know, you shouldn't be drinking. You better stop drinking. God hates drunks. Okay, I don't want God to hate me. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm not going to be a drunk anymore. So they stop drinking. So now what? They're sober, but they're still lost. So you see, so often what happens is we end up concentrating on the wrong thing. Hey, you shouldn't be talking like that. That's filthy language. God hates that. Oh boy, okay, I don't want God to be mad at me. I'm going to stop talking like that. And there have been times when people can, you know, go around and you can sort of convince people to clean up their act. And sometimes people can clean up their act. They can stop drinking, they can stop cussing, they can stop smoking, they can stop doing all those things. But that doesn't result in their salvation, does it? You see, we're not on a moral campaign. We're going for something greater than that. Something deeper than that. Men have to come to Jesus. You can be the straightest guy in the world. You can be, you know, just Mr. Straight-Laced and end up in hell. Well, I never did any of those things. I didn't have any of those vices that all these other people had around me. That, in the end, is not really the issue. The real issue is Jesus. And that's where God is, through the Spirit. That's what he's bringing men to ultimately, to understand their need for Jesus. He says he will convict men of righteousness. And what this means is that God is showing men through the work of the Holy Spirit that the righteousness that he requires is beyond anything they're able to attain. Convict the world of righteousness, Jesus said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus went to heaven. He's the only man that ever went to heaven. And what is that telling the world? That's telling the world, the only way you're going to get to heaven is to be as righteous as Jesus. But of course, we have the problem of sin. So I can't be as righteous as Jesus. So it looks like I can't get to heaven. Well, I can't get to heaven on my own. But if I put my trust in Jesus, I can get to heaven through him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is convicting men of righteousness, that the righteous standard that God accepts is nothing less than the perfect life of Jesus Christ. And unless a man has lived a perfect life, never thought, said, or done a single thing contrary to the perfect nature and will of God, that person has no hope. And of course, that leaves us all in trouble because none of us have done that. But Jesus did it. And he went to the Father. and the righteousness that he has, he will give to us who put our trust in him. And that's really what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about the righteousness of Christ being put on the account of a sinner and God accepting me on that basis. And so the Holy Spirit convicts men and convinces men of these things and then of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict men of the fact that there is a judgment coming. You know what we need today? We need a fresh visitation of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because we live in a world where people aren't concerned about righteousness and they're not concerned about judgment, and that's something that they've just put out of their minds for the most part, or at least outwardly, seemingly. And so, again, we go out and we, you know, go out and try to get people to realize their need, and so often it just seems like it's falling on deaf ears. So often it seems like people are so hardened and so indifferent and just, they don't even care. They don't want to hear it. And you meet people like that. And that's why we've got to pray. That's why, as God's people, we need to be praying, Lord, send your Spirit. Convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you know, when God pours out his Spirit in an extraordinary way, that's exactly what happens. People just start getting convicted of sin. And oftentimes it's without anybody ever saying a word to them. They just begin to sense that their life is wrong, their behavior is wrong, their thinking process is wrong, everything's wrong. And then God brings his people who are empowered by the Spirit to the sinners who are convicted by the Spirit, and he brings them together, and what happens? Salvation results. So that's why we need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's the one thing I think that we ought to be praying for. If there was one thing that we as a church should be praying for today, it would be that. That there would be a great outpouring of the Spirit in these days. Convicting men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then Jesus goes on, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. We don't have to ever be worried about being led astray by the Holy Spirit. And what is the instrument through which the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth? Again, it's the Word of God. There are a lot of people that have deviated from the path of truth. But you know, it wasn't because they were seeking the Lord and just there before him in his word saying, God, show me the truth. It's because they turned off and went after some other thing, some other revelation, some other experience. I've talked to many people involved in cults, and I've said to them, you would never, ever believe the things you believe if you had simply read the Bible. You would never draw the conclusions you've drawn. Because if you stay in the Word, God's going to keep you on the path of truth. His Word is truth. I met people that aren't necessarily in something as extreme as a cult, but you know, people can get caught up in doctrines, excessive ideas and things. And you know what? As you talk to them, you realize, you know, you got this information somewhere other than the Scriptures. Sometimes they'll protest, no, I've only read the Bible. No, you haven't, or you haven't read the whole thing. You haven't read it in its context, because you couldn't draw these conclusions if you had. The Spirit will guide us into the truth, not lead us away from the truth. And then Jesus said, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. And again, this is where I think we have to see there's something specific going on with these men, because the Lord did give them that prophetic word in the sense of letting them know the future. And remember, John was one of the men that was here listening to Jesus, and he was, of course, the one who penned the book of Revelation. And so you can see the fulfillment of this promise there in John. And now verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, again, that's so vital to our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is the objective of the Holy Spirit. That is the ambition of the Holy Spirit. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. So when you go into those meetings and, you know, Holy Spirit, come, and, you know, all trying to whip everything up, that's not honoring God. The Holy Spirit isn't blessed and honored by that. The Holy Spirit is grieved by that, because the Holy Spirit's great objective is to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, all of these things Jesus said to them before he went to the cross. When Jesus had gone to the cross and then had risen from the dead, as he was about to leave, he told these same men something very interesting. He said to them, he had commissioned them, go into the world, take the gospel to all the nations, make disciples of all nations, so forth. But he said this. He said, but wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from heaven. He said, for the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall receive power. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth. So, in his final ministry to these men, he tells them about another dimension of the Spirit's work that he did not tell them about prior to his death and resurrection. And it's the ministry of the Spirit coming upon a person. Now remember, Jesus spoke of the Spirit being with you. He was with these men before Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected. He said, he shall be in you. And the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we have that exact same experience. It's as though Jesus would then breathe on us and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, at the moment of belief on our part, the moment when we receive Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. But now Jesus tells us about one other relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit, he said, will come upon you. But he said this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. See, what we're talking about now at this point, and we read about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're talking about not the born-again experience, which saves us, but we're talking about an experience that empowers us. You see, God will give us, desires to give us, intends to give us supernatural power with which to serve him. I do not serve Christ in my own strength. I can't. I don't have the strength that's necessary. I need a dynamic power, because what I'm doing is a spiritual work, and I can't muster up in myself the power to do a spiritual work. I've got to have an empowering that comes from God. You've got to have an empowering that comes from God. And when this empowering comes upon our lives, with that empowering come these various gifts of the Spirit that we read about in various portions of Scripture that we'll look at. But this is the real issue. Have we received that empowering of the Spirit? Has the Spirit come upon us? And this is what we call the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means to be immersed. And so what we're talking about is an immersion in the Spirit. And the distinction between the infilling or the indwelling of the Spirit and this baptism of the Spirit or this empowering of the Spirit, I think the best illustration is just simply the difference between a cup that is full and a cup that is overflowing. You can take a cup and you can fill it right to the brim and it's full. But you can also stick that water supply in the cup and have it not only remain full, but constantly overflowing. That's what Jesus was talking about. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. And what happens here then is the Spirit of God is overflowing from our lives. Now, it is possible to be indwelt by the Spirit, but not to be empowered by the Spirit. That's a possibility. And we see examples of it in Scripture. And just exactly why that is the case with some, I really can't say that I know. But we do have those pictures. And the Lord's desire for all of us is that we have this empowering, that we have this overflow of the Spirit in our lives. And this is where we simply need to ask for it. Because Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And if we find in our lives that there is a lack of power, if we find in our lives that there isn't an overflow, what do we do? Well, we need to ask. Lord, I need that overflow. I pray for that empowering. If you perhaps sense that you need that fresh touch, you need that empowering, then ask for that. As we pray, ask the Lord to give you that fresh outpouring of His Spirit and keep asking for it. See, that's the thing I think we miss sometimes. When Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open, I don't know why our English translators didn't really bring to us exactly what the original text said, because it said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's so important because, you know, I read ask, seek, knock. Okay, I did that. But Jesus actually said, keep doing it. Keep doing it until what? Keep doing it until you get what you're asking for. Keep asking until you're filled to overflowing. You know what happens to us all, I think? I think a lot of times we are satisfied with less than what God wants to give us. We're satisfied with lesser things. I know I am. I know I'm guilty of that. But God has so much more He wants to give. But He really gives to those who really want. So do we really want it? A person who really wants something, you know what they do? They keep on asking for it. They keep on seeking. They keep on knocking. Let's do that.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Hey, Brian, what's that book you're reading?
Cheryl, this book is called Doctrine for Difficult Days, and it's by J. Vernon McGee.
I love J. Vernon McGee.
Yes.
He's got that down-home style that just makes you feel like you're his beloved friend.
Yep. A down-home style, but J. Vernon McGee was brilliant mm-hmm. and he was quite a Bible scholar himself.
Yes,
and so he's written this book, Important Theology Made Simple. It's easy to read and understand.
So you'd pretty much recommend this to any believer.
Yeah, I do. I love reading books on doctrine, but I wouldn't recommend all of them because, you know, some of them mm-hmm. are a little too complex and too much theological jargon. You're not going to get that with J. Vernon McGee. It's going to be just straightforward.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by J. Vernon McGee, that addresses biblical teaching on major doctrines in Scripture. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.